Okay, hey, I'm Rosh here. Next thing says, saw the Gemara of Rabbi Chanina bar Papa, ha'osa devar imischaret bo, mochlim lo miyad. So the person does something wrong, and he's mischaret bo right away. Immediately, he's mischaret bo. So then, mochlim lo miyad. He's immediately forgiven. Shneimar, we bring a pasuk, says v'lo yireuni. And mashma ha yeruni, if they do fear me, then mochlim lehem miyad. Okay, so he brings down here that he's medayach. What is the word bo? Why do you have to add? Lechoritz, it's extra. I could have said that anybody that's chlosa davar, mitcharet. Understood. He does something wrong, and he's mitcharet. Why does he have to say mitcharet bo? What's the bo coming to teach me? So he says that there's two types of charata. Regret when a person does an avera, he calls them. First one is charata devuka and charata nifredes. What's the difference? Charata devuka means that you are davuk to the avera, that you're mitcharet for the etzem avera, because it's disgusting to you. In other words, you did the avera and you feel terrible. How could I have done this thing? Why do you feel bad? Because you realize the terrible, how bad it is, this thing that you did. So that's what's called charata devuka. There's another level which is less than that, and that's charata nifredes, means that the charata is nifrad from the avera, means it's not because of the etzem avera. It could be that it doesn't bother you so much, the avera. You enjoyed it. You ate a tray steak or whatever. You enjoyed it a lot, and then even afterwards, that you would really like to have another one. So why do you regret? You regret because you said, uh-oh, boy, is Hashem gonna give it to me now? If you're scared of Hashem, that's why you're regretting it, but not because of the etzem thing. The etzem thing was fine, you enjoyed it, and you still enjoy it, and you'd like to do it again, but you're scared because of Hashem. So you're regretting, because, oh no, why did I do that? Boy, am I gonna get over the head? It's okay by you. It still doesn't bother you. It's just that it bothers you the fact you're going to get punished now. So that's the other type of regret. So therefore, the Rabbi Hanina Bar Papa was saying, what type of person gets this mochlim lo miyad? And I don't think it's a little strange. Could be as a different case, because he constantly talks here about being forgiven for all of one's sins, kol avonosav. But it doesn't say that in the Maamar, so I don't know why either he's medayik in there. It just says mochlim lo miyad. It didn't say mochlim lo kol avonosav. But he keeps saying that if a person is mitcharet bo, means that the first type, the charata devuka, that when does he get this mechila? He says on all of his sins, or the way we have at least miyad, is only if he has that type of charata, that the etzem avera bothers him. He goes, oh, why shouldn't I feel terrible, I did that at the etzem avera. That's when he has the mila of a Kodesh Baruch Hu forgiving him miyad, or for kol avonosav. But if it's the second type, when it's just like, oh, I feel bad because I'm scared, what's Hashem's going to do to me? So that's not, you don't get the mila, and therefore that's the diuk in mila bo. After mitcharet bo in the etzem avera, that's me. See, that's you get the mila, but not if you're stam mitcharet. That's he says. Another pshat he brings from his son again, Rabbi Yaakov, that maybe bo is coming to refer to the Gemara. The Rambam brings it down. Also, Hilchos Teshuva, that the Rambam brings and he asks, what is teshuva gemura? So he says, teshuva gemura is if you happen to come to the exact same situation. There are some say you don't have to actually come to it, but Hashem is me'id that if you would come to it, that you wouldn't do the avir again. There's the exact same, the Rambam brings out with the woman, you're the exact same woman, in the same time, in the same place, everything, all the circumstances are exactly alike. When you did the avir, now you hold yourself back and don't do it. And so that's called tshuva gemur. So he said that could be hinted to in this word bo. And in other words, referring to you come to the same not the same circumstance you had before. That's the bo. Kol osei davar umitcharet bo means that you came bo into that same situation again, but yet this time you held yourself back. That's when you have this mile of being forgiven. Yeah. Okay. Next, the piece of Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan kimati lahaikra bachi. So when Rabbi Yochanan came to the following pasuk, he cried. It says, "Vayak ki simtena also rose rabo satars, and if a person comes upon him these rose rabo satars, these many sorrows, right? So what happens? So he says he cried because Eved Sharabo Mamsi Lo Rose the Tsaros Takana Yeshlo. So how could this Eved that has all this Rose the Tsaros, how can he possibly, you know, have a Takana for this? That's so Rabbi Yochanan cried. Okay, so a few things here. First of all, the Ben Ish Chai says that the idea of Rabbi that the Eved the Rabo is Mamsi Lo Rose Rabos. He says that it's interesting because I could say it's the opposite, but he says that the Chazal tell us that when it's sometimes a gzeira ra, HaKadosh Baruch Hu could make it easier on the person by dividing it out and the punishment, therefore it's not as harsh. For example, the mashal, famous mashal, that if the king makes the gzeira, he's going to throw this rock, you know, on this as a punishment on this person, but if he feels bad for him, he could, but he doesn't want to do it anymore, but he already made the decree, so he could take the rock and break it down into, make it into powder, and throw the powder on him. So he's still, you know, throwing the rock on the person, he's time is his era, but it's much easier for the person to handle. So that's, so he says that's the Eved Sharabo Mamsilo Raos Rabos is, he says, is like the, in this serious punishment is, in other words, that he doesn't break up the rock. You know, he gives it very, you know, the whole thing. That's the Raos Rabos. What's the Rabos? Is very, it's very strong because it's the Etzem Gzera. It's not broken down into the powder, and therefore it's a Kana Yeshlo. He has any hope? Mele, if it's broken down, so it's a little, it's easier to handle. But if not broken down, so it's much more difficult. And then the Gemara continues and gives an example. My Raos Vitsaros. What is that? Amarav Raos Shenasa Saros. That the bad is becomes Saros Zulazu. As we see with the two co-wives, they're Saros to each other. And if you remember, the example given was Kigon Zibura the Akraba, with a wasp and a scorpion. That if a person gets bitten by both these two things, he's in trouble. Because the refuah for each one is the opposite. And the refuah for a scorpion is putting the wound in the hot water. Whereas the way to treat a wasp bite is put it into cold water. So if he just gets bitten by one of them, so he does what he has to do, right? He gets bitten by a scorpion, puts it in hot water. Bit by a wasp, puts it in cold water. But what if he gets bitten by both? So each one is also negative for the other one, right? So if you put your scorpion thing into cold water, it's very bad, and vice versa. So you're stuck. You put it in the hot water, you're in trouble because of the wasp bite, and if you put it in the cold water, you're in trouble because of the scorpion bite. So that's what this the raos that are tsaros do lazu, that you're in big trouble. So he says that this is a punishment for somebody that doesn't learn Torah. Shelo asku b'Torah. Why? Because the Torah is nimshal to Eish, and it's nimshal to mine. Eish, of course, which is hot, and water could be cold, and since he didn't learn Torah, so he was pogeya on these two things, and the hot and the cold, so as a result, he gets punished by having this problem with the hot and cold, right? Not be able to put hot, not be able to cold. That comes from being not Osik and Torah, which is Nimshal to hot and cold. So he says. So another couple of nice things. He brings the name of Rav Shimon Miastropoli, that he points out that this mimer here of the Evet Sharabu Mtilo Raos Saros, etc., was said by who? By Rabbi Yochanan. So he says that it's Rabbi Yochanan Lishitase. Rabbi Yochanan says elsewhere, more in Brachas and Dafhei, he says over there that he learns that the Yisurin, Rabbi Yochanan says over there, that the Yisurin of a person, they take care of, cleanse him of his sins. Lashnid Mimarakim, Yisurin Mimarakim, they clean them from his sins. Why? So Rabbi Yochanan And Reish Lakish, they have a different source. Rabbi Yochanan learns it from Shein Ve'ayin, right? That just like by an Eved, that if you knock out just his tooth or his eye, he goes free, your Eved Kanani. And that's just, you know, one limb, a tooth or an eye, and yet he goes free. So he says, so Yisurim, which affect all of a person, not just one neighbor, it can affect his whole body. So Chavachomer goes free, and it goes free from his Averis. This is a Chavachomer. Reish Lakish learns it from Melech. He learns from a limud from Bris Melech, that's from salt. And just like the salt sweetens up the cleanses like the meat, so too the Yisurim cleanse a person, as it from salt. So he said, what's the Nafkamina? The Nafkamina be if, in the case of the Shein Ve'ayin, Shein Ve'ayin that only works if the Rav himself knocks out the tooth or the eye or whatever, right? If it happens through somebody else, it doesn't work, okay? And therefore, so too he says with Yisuri, okay? That was if it's in order for the Yisuri to work, it has to be that Dafka Kodesh Baruch Hu has to directly has to come through him directly. And once it comes through other people, then it could be doesn't have this power of Merakim to cleanse him from all his sins. Right? So just like the Shein V'Yayin with the Rav, if that's the stuff that the Rav causes the Shein V'Yayin, he goes free. So too, it has to be because Baruch Hu does it directly. And if it's indirect, it doesn't work. Masha'in came according to Reish Lakish, which is salt. Doesn't matter who puts it, the salt falls on by itself, or accidentally, somebody else puts it on, or whatever. It works. It takes care of the meat. Doesn't matter how it goes on. Right, so therefore it was cleansed, the Yisurim was cleansed no matter how it goes. That would be the Nafkamina between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan. And very, so it's very good over here, because this is Rabbi Yochanan, he says what? And he says that the Eved is Mamsilo Rabbo, Raos Ritzaros, Takana Yeshbo. So that's Dafke if. He does it himself, right? The Rav does it himself. So it's interesting because he brings this other parish that actually I think would fit in nice with that. And it says that from the Vikuri Aviv, he says that here you can read, normally it's all these Gemoras, it says Takana Yeshlo, you read it the Beit Mia, right? This has happened, the Takana Yeshlo, he has no Takana, what is he going to do when this happens? So he reads this with a Benichusa, he reads it straight. How so? And it says that lehefet evit sherabo mamtzilo raos v'tzaros takana yeshla. In other words, kitim tse'ena is lashon. It is found, happens upon. So the pasuk says that if it's the rabos rabos kitim tse'enu rabos raos, right? Then it happens to be. So it says so if the rab would do it himself, then takana yeshla. The problem here is this tim'tzena, meaning the Kodesh Baruch Hu deals with the person directly, so then a person could say, oh, you know, I could see that Kodesh Baruch Hu's hands in this, he's Hashkaka Pratis, he's doing this directly to me, so okay, so he's trying to help me out here, and I'll do tshuva or whatever. But if it happens, and it doesn't look like it's Yad Hashem, it's always, of course, Yad Hashem, but if it's like Hester Panim, it doesn't look like Hashem's doing it directly, then it's like a sign, Kilu Hashem is saying, you know, I'm letting this, you know, things happen by themselves, and Bimikre, Kilu, and because I don't want to have this direct connection with you. So such a person is, oi, what should I do? So therefore, that's how you can read the drush, right? That the person keeps it to enu rabos raos, if it just happens upon a person, and it seems like it's only been mikre, right, then the guy's got a problem. But because if it happens directly from the rav, then takana yeshlo. If it's directly from the rab does it to the Eved, then you don't read a bebit. You read it directly. Then takana yeshlo. Then lefakot, he says, okay, Baruch Hashem, I have a takana because I see the my rab, the Kodesh Baruch Hu, he's doing it to me directly. The problem is that the pasuk says kiitim se'ena, and it's happening ki'ilu happenstance, and then that's when it's really a problem. So when according to that, the drush over here, I think maybe it fits in. I don't know if that's what he meant, or if Shimon Meastropoli, but if it's in that when there is a takana when the rav's doing it directly, you know, if the rav knocks out his hand, or his tooth, or his eye, or whatever, so then he has a takana, then he goes free. When it happens indirectly, when it means not the, directly the Kaddish Baruch Hu doing it, therefore not the Rav's not doing it directly, we said he doesn't go out. Right? So then it actually fits in with this this other pshat. The Kitzib Se'enu, then when he has no hope, then it's indirect. When it's the Kaddish Baruch Hu doing it directly, then by many he has hope. Okay. Says here on the Gemara on Hey Amud Beis. Gemara here says Haynu the son Yamar Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel says Kol Makom Shenasnu Chachamim Einehem. Whenever the Chachamim they're makpid on someone, they literally they put their eyes on someone, then it's O Misa O Oni. Then you find it's usually death or poverty. So Ben Yada says, "What's the why death or poverty?" He said that because these two things are in the hands of Talmidei Chachamim, as it says in the pasuk in Mishlei, "Orech Yamin Bimina, Bismola Oshevachavah." So on his right hand there is Orech Yamin, which is the life, right? It's in his right hand. And in his left hand, the smola is osher v'chavod. That's the wealth. That's money. Okay. So someone who's a bal Torah, he says, is steeped in Torah. So he has in his right hand the life, and his left hand wealth. So mele, if he wants to affect the person negatively, he has the power to either take the person's life away, misa, or oni, take away his wealth from his left hand. So those are the two milas of the Talmud Chacham that he has, the life and the wealth, and therefore he can take away life or take away wealth, misaroni. That's why Dafka these two things. And he says with this you can explain what Eliezer said to Lavan and Besua, that he said to them, "Ve'im lo higiduli vefne al yamin o al smo." Right? He says that if you don't listen to me, and then I'm going to efne al yamin, or if I'll turn to my right or my left. What's the right or left? So he said Eliezer, he was a Baal Torah. We know he was called Domestic Eliezer because he was Dola Umashko Me Rabo, right? He was steeped in the Torah. He learned from Avram Avinu. So he was a Baal Torah. And therefore, based on what we said, he had the power on his right and his left hand for wealth or for in this case for Misa or for Oni. So therefore, that's what he's telling me. He says, you better, cooperate, he's telling Lavan of Besuel, because if not, I'll turn to my right and left. What's the right and left? The right is life, or Misa, and left is wealth, or Oni. So therefore, he's telling me, if you don't cooperate, I have the power, for life and death, and for wealth and Oni, so you better do what I'm saying. And he says, in fact, they weren't cooperating, and they tried to trick him, and as a result, what happened? Besuel died. So he says, so you see that there was Misa over there, and they weren't doing what he said. Okay, one last thing for today. Says the Gemara says with Rav Ila, Rav Ila, Havisalik Bedarga, the Bei Rabba Barshila. So he's going up the ladder of the Beis Medrash of Rabba Barshila. And then Shamei Lianuka to Have Kakara, and then he heard this kid. He was reading a pasuk. He was reading Ki Hine Yoter Harim Bori Ruach Magilado Masecho, etc. So he says, "What's the significance of telling us he was climbing up the ladder?" And then he heard, "Well, you have to tell me he's climbing up a ladder for. Like, what are you telling me here?" So he says that in those days. He says, we're not used to this, but nowadays we have something called a staircase. In those days, they didn't have staircases. They had ladders. You want to go up to the next floor, you have to climb a ladder. So he says, the difference between a ladder as opposed to a staircase you could pretty much, you don't have to be concentrating too much. You just walk up the stairs. When you're climbing up a ladder, you have to pay attention to what you're doing, or else you'll fall. Right? So he said that the godless of Rav Ila was Achrebi Ila Afal Pish Libo Tarud Baliyasav Asulam. Even though he was busy, concentrating on the climbing up the ladder, which you have to do when you're climbing a ladder. Im Kozeh Panalev Avoli Shmo Alahavim Divrei Torah Shiyasami Piatinok. Even so, he he, I don't exactly understand what this mile is. I mean, you know, it can be dangerous, you know, so that's a tremendous mile. You take your mind off climbing the ladder, you want to listen to what the kid is saying, and because he's saying, oh, he heard Divrei Torah, so he's, oh, you know, he's paying attention, even though he's climbing the ladder. So it could be just, if you need pa'el, me'elu advarim, shalakach me'emusr, haskel, and he says, wow, unbelievable, he took a musr from what the kid was saying, even though he's climbing this ladder. So I'm not sure if it was that what he means 100%. It could be that he was so steeped in Torah that he couldn't help himself, and even though he was, you know, supposed to be concentrating, he couldn't help but take his mind off and listen to this kid, or that he consciously said, okay, I don't care, but I got to listen to this Bar Torah, and he took his consciously took his mind off. I'm not sure exactly, but.
So, going to
what you're saying, he wasn't pone levavo, really. Here his heart was working on that. He heard this, he was pone his life, like he turned his heart and listened to the kid. What you're saying is more like he kept concentrating on this, but he also concentrated on that. You could say that perhaps he was pone a part of his heart, that he, you know, but pone levo sounds like he took his concentration off the ladder and started listening to the kid. So that's